hour, though, we are going to talk about a wide-ranging suite of topics that were discussed throughout the state of Wisconsin by our next guest, CJ Safer. He's the CEO of IRG, the Institute for Reforming Government. And I know that every time I am in, CJ has a new topic, a new piece of research. I know you talk to Steve a lot. You are a think tank organization that develops policy reforms, engages communities, and holds government accountable. IRG wants to give all Wisconsinites an opportunity to succeed and prosper. I love that. That is like on every piece of content that you guys have.
Well, thank you. It's a hefty mission.
Right. You want to make sure all Wisconsinites are happy. So speaking of making all Wisconsinites happy, you did some research. You did some interviews. What do Wisconsinites want?
So IRG really thought that we needed to leave the Milwaukee-Madison corridor, and we really wanted to be an organization that tries to speak on behalf of the problems and solutions for Wisconsinites all across the state in every single corner. So what we did for the last year and a half is we traveled the state. We drove over 5,000 miles. We met with hundreds of community leaders. We toured over 40 cities. And we held about 25 listening sessions. And when I say we, I really mean my colleague Madison Hartman, who did a heck of a job, our director of external affairs. And what we really did is we had one basic rule, is we were just going to listen. We didn't pitch any policy ideas. We didn't, we moderated a bit to keep the conversation going, but really we wanted to listen. And the second rule was we wanted to hear of the problems that different communities and people faced and what their solutions were. I think too often, I think policy solutions kind of come from the top down. And what we were curious is what can we get from the bottom up? But our main focus was figuring out, you know, what ails Wisconsin. So we met with school board members, we met with superintendents in urban areas and rural areas, we met with small business leaders, manufacturers, farmers, veterans groups. We really tried to, and we're not going to profess to speak to every group or every person, but what we did was really unique in the state policy world. We really wanted to hear what Wisconsinites wanted throughout the entire state.
So what was that one question that you asked, and were there some common themes, whether you were talking to commercial real estate practitioners or manufacturing executives or farmers?
What do you want state government to do? What are the issues that you have, and what kind of state policies do you need to make your industry, your occupation, or your family flourish? That was mainly the conversations. And geez, you would be surprised when you actually sit down with Wisconsinites across the political spectrum, you could really get them to talk. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we met with people from all different types of backgrounds, different political parties, and people just really want to be heard. Well, look, let's get into it. So the first big theme that we heard was mental health. Wow. It doesn't matter really where we went, but, you know, focusing on schools, we did a tour of one of the most rural school districts in northeastern Wisconsin, about a one school building, for the entire district. And we sat down with a teacher in the fifth grade, and she told us that about a third of her class tried to inflict self-harm. A third of her class tried to inflict self-harm. So here you have 10-year-olds in a district in Wisconsin who have broken homes. Their parents are abused to opioids. They're just coming out of COVID and government shutdowns. And they have some significant mental health issues. And we saw this in several other districts that we talked to. And it's one of the things where there's teachers and school board members and administrators that are saying, you know, we're now turning to have to hire or contract with or actually have mental health practitioners in the district. And when you take like a step back, we're now asking school districts to be mental health practitioners because there's not a, because we have a mental health epidemic in certain parts of the state, like rural Wisconsin, and we just don't have enough mental health practitioners outside of schools. And it's an awfully heavy burden to carry on to schools. And we sat down with groups of college students too, especially those who go to University of Wisconsin-Madison. And they really said that mental health issues are now very common amongst their student groups. And this is something that when I was in college, you certainly don't remember talking about it too much. But now coming out of COVID, it is very common for mental health to be something that college students talk about just as like it's a form of like going to the doctor for like a checkup. And we did there was a poll that was released by State Policy Network and Morning Consult that I'll reference throughout this discussion. And 83% of Wisconsin voters, 83% of Wisconsin voters say that mental health is a significant problem in our state. Not surprisingly, that's why Governor Evers has dubbed it the year of mental health. But certainly when you start to kind of leave our area, I mean, it is something that people are talking about and really suffering from.
CJ Safer, CEO of Institute for Reforming Government. I think what you're talking about with regard to mental health, we hear it a lot, and now we're starting to see the investment, whether it's in schools, whether it's in the workplaces. Do you think that there's hope for policy solutions that will help? I don't want to say stem this because it has been going on for a while, but you just admitted yourself 20 years ago when I was in college, probably when you were in college, this wasn't a discussion we were having. So just the mere fact that it's acknowledged, is this a good thing that you were able to uncover and then share with legislators?
Well, look, I mean, you take a step back, and it was almost like COVID kind of broke the mental health issue in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I think there's a number of issues that we've suffered from. But when you look at kind of broken homes, when you look at drug and alcohol abuse and how that leads to issues in the family, and then you have COVID, and then you have 2 years of whether it's self-quarantining or government shutdowns or just a huge disruption on society, students not going to school, students not socializing, we're still catching up from all of those issues. And that's what policymakers need to understand. These issues are not going away anytime soon. There's things that we're suggesting and working with lawmakers on, like how do we get more mental health practitioners into Wisconsin through licensing reform and through telemental health. Because right now, there's just not enough, especially when you go into places like rural Wisconsin. The fact that schools now have to hire or want to hire mental health practitioners is a clear sign that the system's broken.
So what are some of the other themes that you saw? We talked about mental health. We talked about regulatory reform. What else are you hearing? I mean, you talked to the veterans group. You talked to charter school groups. What else can you tell us?
Well, we talked to a number of education groups, and look, education in Wisconsin is big and diverse. We have charter schools, we have private schools, we have public schools, we have, you know, public schools in urban areas, public schools in rural parts, and there's a couple of common themes that we really quickly observed. Childhood literacy is a major problem. It's something that I think a lot of us are discussing. It's something that policymakers are discussing right now in the Capitol. But the fact is that, you know, all the numbers show it. Wisconsin's a bottom 10 state for reading across the country. We're last in reading for Black students. And it's not just numbers, though. When you actually talk to teachers, as we did at Kenosha, I mean, the problem is we are advancing students, you know, the students that can't read in first grade, second grade, and third grade that are showing up as numbers, they're being advanced to the every single grade. And guess what? They're not learning to read in fourth, fifth, or sixth grade. So we're now pushing students through the education system who don't know how to read. That's just not unfair to the student. That's unfair to the parent, but it's also unfair to the teacher, to the eighth grade teacher that's now being unfairly required to educate a student who doesn't know how to read in the eighth grade. We heard those stories several times in rural areas, but also in like suburban areas too, which just is more of an incentive for policymakers to fix the literacy issue so every child can read by second grade Because right now, that's not working.
Well, and could this be contributing to the teacher shortage and the reason why teachers just don't want to have to fix these things themselves when the system really isn't designed to work?
Well, look, I mean, workforce is another commonality. We'll talk about the business part of that later. But right now, we don't have enough teachers. And that's something that's, you know, putting, again, we talked about it before with like mental health, it is such a strain on education, such a burden on teachers that, you know, again, this is Teacher Appreciation Week. And just think about everything that some of these teachers are going through, not just with the mental health, but now there's just not enough teachers. There's not enough subs. And a lot of that has to do with, we're just asking them to do way too much. Not just educate a student, but also kind of bring a student up to speed. Post COVID, you have learning loss, and then now you also have the mental health issue too.
CJ Safer, the CEO for Institute for Reforming Government. When we come back, I want to ask you specifically what you are doing in your organization to help advance the conversation. You've got the data, you've got the numbers, you've got the bottom up. So how do you take that to those policymakers? In the studio with CJ Safer, CEO of Institute for Reforming Government. I'm Tracy Johnson, in for Steve Scafidi. Welcome back on WTMJ. I'm joined today by CJ Safer, CEO for Institute for Reforming Government. They have a hot new piece out today that outlines interviews that they did over the past year and a half with different sectors of industry across the state of Wisconsin. And we spent the first part of this interview talking about some of the opportunities and the challenges: mental health, teacher shortage, tax reform. What are some of the positives that you saw and heard from the people around the state?
Yeah, so last year we drove over 5,000 miles. We toured over 40 cities, and we had about 25 listening sessions where we just listened to what people had to say. We didn't try to pitch anything. We just wanted to know what were their problems and how could state government fix them, or how could state policy fix them. And it was an incredibly rewarding experience for us as a policy organization, because we want to be bottom up. We don't necessarily want to be telling people. We want to be advocating for solutions that are going to help Wisconsinites solve kitchen table issues. And look, it was just incredibly optimistic stories to also go out and to meet with farmers and think about that the agriculture industry, sometimes it gets maligned in Wisconsin, but, you know, dairy products still make up more than half of our total ag output. And we're still one of the top states for agriculture, just period. And it's something that we really think that Wisconsin should not only be proud of, but, you know, government and other businesses should look to what's happening. We toured farms in Spring Green and Arcadia, and we found that there was some incredible technological advances there. You know, there were dairy farmers that were using cutting-edge software and computer programming to monitor the health of cows, so they could better, like, determine if their cows were getting sick or if they needed different types of nutrients. And then we saw some drones that were being used for some farmers to apply food protection. When you just think, like, where, you know, technology's advanced in the last 10, 15, 20 years, we had farmers that were telling us how much money this has saved. So by embracing robotics, by embracing cutting edge technology, we have a dairy sector and we have an egg sector that's just dramatically different and kind of like leading the way on some just fascinating revolutions.
So when you talk about any changes that they're looking for, would they be looking for more support, more education? I saw some notes in here about regulations. So how do we help some of these industries that, I mean, frankly, I don't think a lot about farming and agriculture. We talk so much about manufacturing, but the truth be told, our state is an agriculture state. This is a huge interest for outstate Wisconsin.
Well, it's ag and it's manufacturing. Another thing that we need to kind of embrace, mm-hmm. and just be incredibly proud of, that we are a top 10 state for manufacturing. And when we met with, you know, dozens of manufacturers, big employers, farmers, and small businesses from every corner, from Hayward to Arcadia to Eau Claire to Brilliant and the Fox Valley, you know, there are two common themes, two things that they need state policymakers to do. One, fix the workforce shortage, and two, do something about the high income taxes. Both of those are hurting businesses' ability to grow, and they're also hurting their ability to recruit new people to come to Wisconsin. So that's why we've been very vocal on finding ways to cut taxes. We've, you know, been very out there mm-hmm. at IRG for elimination of the income tax. We think that that would help with the workforce shortage issue. We also think that right now we're not going to get what we want, but we think that both sides in Madison have to come together and figure out how to do a massive middle class tax cut and a huge tax cut on small businesses, and so we can really kind of bring more people here. We were in Waupaca Foundry, and that was one of the largest employers, and they said that they don't have enough employees in order to grow, and it's a massive hindrance for that sector.
So all of these issues really sound like they could achieve bipartisan support. And so, you know, we appreciate all the effort. I mean, clearly, I don't know how you even had time to do Steve's show at all or put this together. CJ Safer, CEO for Institute for Reforming Government, covering this wide-ranging report that you had put out from all of these interviews across the state. Where can people find more and read the entire report?
Please go to reforminggovernment.org and download it and let me know what you think.
And you're so accessible. I appreciate it. So when we come back, we're going to just touch on the poll that you did that was in alignment with this research report. I'm Tracy Johnson, in for Steve Scafidi on WTMJ. Welcome back on WTMJ. CJ Safer joins us in studio, CEO for Institute for Reforming Government. CJ, in addition to this wide-ranging report of what Wisconsinites want, you also did a poll. You did a survey. Tell us a little bit about that quantitative analysis.
So as we're going out there talking to individuals and community leaders about what issues impact them, there was a poll that was done by our friends at State Policy Network and Morning Consult that of Wisconsin voters. It just dropped a few weeks ago. And it asked also basic questions, which are, you know, asking people about issues that are a problem to them, or issues that they think are a huge concern. And the numbers were absolutely staggering, that 90% of Wisconsin voters think that drug and addictions is a major problem. 85% of Wisconsin voters said that healthcare, the cost of healthcare, is a major problem. 83% said mental health is a problem. 76% said childcare. So you have three of every four Wisconsin voters think that childcare, mental health, healthcare, and drugs are a problem in the state of Wisconsin. That to me really not only screams bipartisan solutions, mm-hmm. but also screams as like both sides in Madison have to come together to solve those issues. We heard them on the ground, and now this new poll just really validates that there's some major problems that almost everyone agrees is holding the state of Wisconsin back.
Well, and what an opportunity, like you said, to move forward in a bipartisan fashion. One more time, where can we get more information about this report?
Reforminggovernment.org.
Thank you. CJ Safer, CEO of Institute for Reforming Government. It's 11 o'clock on WTMJ. I'm Tracy Johnson, in for Steve Scafidi.